Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org, or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Jen Hatmaker, welcome to Buckhead Church, to our podcast. Welcome to our people. You know, we've been saying over and over again, I feel like every church has, but you know, the church is not a building, church is a group of people, yeah. But gosh, this whole thing has really made us realize that. So we feel
it
very connected.
Really has.
Thanks for being a voice in our church. How are you doing?
Well, I am delighted to not be there with you, but to be here with you from my office. How are we doing? You know, you and I were just talking a minute ago. We both have 5 kids. And it is a lot of human bodies in one place without any reprieve. And so ours are, we're north of you a little bit. You know, yeah. We've got 2 in college, mm-hmm. and we have 2 in high school and 1 in middle. Okay. And of those 5, 2 of them are seniors. So I have a senior in college and I have a senior in high school. And so we're managing some real disappointment in the house and some real discouragement. And they're not getting to finish strong like they'd wanted to and hoped to. And so it just, I feel like I have a different answer to that question by the hour. Do you know what I mean? Like some days I am like, it's go time. Like this is the Hatmaker crew. This is what we do. Like we rally, we are strong. And other days I'm like face down in a plate of nachos. Like this is, we're all just going to die here, I guess. Like this is it. This is how it goes down for us.
Well, I love that. I mean, I think what you're saying is what I can't say what everyone is experiencing, but I think a lot of people really are experiencing.
I think so too.
There's a lot of good stuff, and then there's a lot of really hard stuff, and it's all happening at the same time.
Right.
Which I don't know what to do with that other than it just is.
It's kind of like life, and it's just been put in a pressure cooker because at all times we are all managing joy and pain. We are all managing hope and discouragement. But now it's like it's been put inside like the Instapot and just the lid squeezed shut. And so, you know, we're really kind of, I know in my life, like in my personal life, in my heart, mind, and soul, and then also in our family, kind of seeing where some of the fault lines were. You know, they were pretty steady in the real world, but you know, you put this much pressure on him, you're like, oh, that wasn't quite as sturdy and connected as I thought it was.
That's really well said. I don't know. Every time we do one of these, we don't know if we should be doing an intro or if we're just going to let the story speak for itself. But to give people a little bit of context, we have a lot of people in our church who are big fans of yours. And then probably some people that have been living under a rock and don't even know anything about your life. But you, your husband is a pastor.
Well, he stepped down from being senior pastor at our church. We started a church here in Austin 12 years ago.
Okay.
So he's not been the lead pastor now for, I guess, 3 years or maybe even 4 at this point, but he's a starter. He is a beginner. He's an entrepreneurial spirit. Yep. Exactly. Yep.
And then you are, I mean, I guess your title is author, speaker, blogger. You're just, I don't know. Is that hard for you to even, what do you tell people?
I know, right? It depends on who asks me. Like when I'm traveling and I'm on a plane and someone's like, what do you do? I high level it so hard. I'm like, I write. And for who? I guess women. Like, I'm like, you don't want this. Okay. I don't even know how to describe my own job title. Because yeah, it's an interesting time, right? To be a communicator. It's all what started off in kind of one little zip code now has a lot of splinters. And so, but yeah, that's as good as any. I write and I teach and I speak podcast. I don't know. Gosh.
Well, our church, I like to think of, I mean, I think everybody probably thinks of their own crew as a group that's fun, but I am a Enneagram 7, love fun. And so I just love your humor and your wit and your writing style is fantastic. And there's been numerous times where my wife has sent me like little sections. I have written a couple of books. Neither of them have done near as well as what your books have done, but she'll send me a little paragraph of something you've written. She'll be like, isn't this just so light and fun, but yet so meaningful and deep? And I'm like, I get it. Like, she's a better writer than me. Like, just say it. It does not hurt my feelings. So anyway, you are held in higher regard than all else.
So hilarious. I had a guy come up to me one time at an event. There's always a few men that sneak in. I'm like, I see you. Mm-hmm. But he came up to me afterwards and he was like, okay, look, I want to tell you something. I finally just read your dumb book because I had to make a deal with my wife. And I, at one point, she had come into the bathroom where I'm taking a shower and she is reading sections to me like I am her hostage. And I finally just said, look, if I promise to just read it, can I just take a shower? Can I just do this? And so he said that was the bargain that I made. And so I read it cover to cover. So I always feel like I need to apologize to the husbands for being like held hostage by paragraphs that your wives are like, no, you're going to listen to this.
Listen.
You're going to hear
Shut
it.
Shut up and listen. That's right.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, we'll get to, I want to talk about, you have a new book coming out in a couple of weeks, which we were laughing about that. What a great time to be releasing a book. But
super.
I do want to talk about just some of the more lighthearted fun stuff up front, if we can.
Sure.
Let me just give you like some rapid fire questions. First thing you want to do when all the restrictions are lifted.
Oh, okay. I feel like I need to put everybody on notice in my life, all my friends, my family, my whole family lives in Austin, that I'm going to have zero sense of personal space when this is over. It's going to be probably offensive. I think north of offensive, like full frontal, crushing vice grip, body touching. I can already tell that it's going to really, really almost border on assault. I'm just telling you in advance. Yeah.
So all the Fauci's, Tony Fauci's warnings, like we might not be handshaking anymore. You're like, no.
No, I'm not listening to that.
That's right.
Look, he's my leader right now, but I'm prepared to like break ranks when it comes to like hug time.
That's awesome. All right. What do you love most about the last couple of weeks? If you had to pick a thing or two that you're like, no, this part's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, and there is some of that. And that's okay to say, too. It is okay to. And I also recognize that we're kind of in our families in sort of a privileged place because Brandon, my husband and I, we already both worked from home. Mm-hmm. And so largely our kind of work life, with some very notable exceptions, kind of stayed intact. You know, we have the luxury of still getting to work safely from our homes. And so I do recognize that privilege for sure. But I would say maybe this. Today is my oldest son's 22nd birthday. Mm. And, you know, he's the one that's graduating from college. He's a senior at Texas Tech. And I kind of thought, this is it. He's launched. You know, he's launching. He's going to finish his senior year. He's going to move into adulthood. So kind of having this time with my oldest kid that I just never, ever thought I'd actually have again has been great. I love big kids. Listen, you just need to hang on, mister. Okay, you will not be in the weeds forever. They will make sandwiches on their own. They will drive cars and they will drive themselves to places. And so,
do they ever pick up their shoes?
Oh, you know what? You might need to lay that expectation down. That doesn't get much better. And I'm really sorry to tell you, nor do they put their cups in the dishwasher. So just try to be reasonable now. Okay.
All right. Yeah. But that's cool though, that time with him, even though, between the two, you said you have a high school senior and a college senior. Is one handling it better or worse than the other?
Yes. My college senior is handling it better. So I don't know if you can remember your senior year, but my high school senior had already given up any cares that he had. He had what my husband and I affectionately like to call the screw-its. Okay, so he was just like,
screw it,
dragging that kid over the finish line. Just finish. We don't care what you get. We don't care what you do. And so this quarantine to him feels like, well, school is now totally optional. And so you can imagine that we are really enjoying homeschooling that one. I'm like, oh. Every day, Brandon and I will look at each other in the morning before the kids are sort of up and going. And we're like, which one of us feels like we have the emotional capacity to handle the senior? Like, which one of us can do it today? Is it you? Like, do a body scan. Who can handle it today? We just need that kid to graduate.
I do. I totally get it. And I can so relate to that because I remember that feeling of being a senior when you're just like, I mean, I've already either gotten accepted or not. I mean, nothing's going to change at this point. So, which is
Phoning it in.
Totally. That's awesome. Last quarantine question for now, I guess, or just the last maybe somewhat playful one. What about the thing outside of this that you are looking most? You mentioned the hug as the first thing you're going to do, but anything else that you're looking forward to outside of this that you just miss?
I miss being in rooms of people that I love, that I'm serving, or we're working together, or we're at church together, or, you know, I speak a lot, of course, like everybody, all my spring events were canceled. And no, I'm an introvert and I am an Enneagram 3. So to some degree I can hole up in this office, which is in my backyard, separate from my house, and put my head down and nothing has changed for me at all. But I've noticed that even as an introvert, I really rely on being in rooms full of like women and neighbors and friends and community, as this completely different outlet. I just miss it. I mean, I really, really miss it. We're taking quarantine really, really seriously. Brandon is doing almost any errands that we need. And so I've not left. But this Monday, just this week, he and I had to have something notarized. And so I had to go with him. It was my first time out there in 3 weeks. And I mean, I did not handle it well. Like, just being in a public place and seeing people again, it all just felt so fragile, more than I even knew. And so I look forward to our cultural recovery process together. And I hope that we love one another better. I hope that we serve one another more wholeheartedly. I hope that grace finds its way back into our dialogue and just sort of the cultural rhetoric that we left at the door a month ago. And I feel hopeful about that. I really do.
I love that. One of the things we've been wrestling through as a church is we've obviously had people in our church that have contracted the virus, but I think what's more, I don't want to say more heartbreaking, because there's so much that's heartbreaking now, but maybe just in a different way, are the consequences or the implications of the isolation that it's had on so many different people. What are you learning about that? I mean, I know you are such a people oriented. I didn't know you're an introvert, but you seem like you fight for loving people really, really well. Which of course we can do over video chat, but so much of that is that personal hand on the shoulder connection. What are you learning about, or what do you hope that the church learns, or that we learn about relationships with each other, in regard to the way our minds are designed and the way our mental state is best?
It feels like this pandemic and then the subsequent quarantine, in so many ways, now in other ways, completely not at all, and that's a different conversation, but in a lot of ways, it's kind of leveled the playing field, because now people that we didn't understand or weren't in community with or disagreed with or had very different worldviews, we're all in the same spot right now. You know, we are all in our homes. We are all worried. We all have friends and family that we're concerned about. We're all having to navigate a new normal. And so that sort of leveling out of the human experience right now, I think has the potential to really teach the church something important. If we'll listen, if we'll pay attention, I think if we will consider that all of the chasms and ideologies that have kept us so incredibly polarized from one another, that have absolutely like put us all in our silos, it is possible now to experience a different world, a different world where it's neighbor to neighbor, right? And it's person to person. And some of those distinctions that felt dire, I mean, just a month ago, honestly, it just feels impossible. I wonder if we could consider re-examining that maybe humanity can do better than we've done, that we can come together in a different way when this is all over, that we can lay down our arms and just reimagine what it looks like to be in community with one another. That's what I hope on my best day.
That's
you know,
beautiful.
It really is something to watch, isn't it? We're seeing it right now. It's everywhere. It's incredible. All these stories everywhere. They're just phenomenal. Just absolutely phenomenal. And I'm like, that's the best of who we can be.
That's
always been possible. That has always been possible. We could choose that on any given day in any given year. We could always choose to be that version of ourselves. Wow. And so, man, I hope we hang on to that when this is all over.
That's beautiful.
That's my deepest prayer.
Hey, coach us up as you're, I love that you started talking about your two kids, the senior in high school and senior in college. What do you say to somebody who's wrestling with a lot of loss right now? And not what do you say to someone who might be, what do you say to anyone who, because all of us are, I mean, every single, you know, in my world, it's our 7-year-old, our 6-year-old Sally just turned 7. And she was crying herself to sleep the other night because she didn't have the birthday that she wanted, you know, because she just wanted her friends to come over. That's all she wanted.
Of course.
And her pain is her pain, and it's just as real as anybody else's
pain. That's right.
But I feel at a loss at times as a parent. What do you say to people? What are you saying to your kids about loss right now?
I think a good place to start, like the foundation to build underneath that conversation is this. My girlfriend, Kristen Howerton, says this is not a good time to engage the hardship Olympics, right? Like, we are not competing with losing more, with whose pain means something more, with who gets to be the one saying this is hard, and somebody else is going to get shamed for saying something different is hard. That just does not serve us right now. And so I think we're going to have to give ourselves permission, first of all, to be able to say out loud, you know what? My kid turned 7 and it sucked for her. And that was sad. And she cried herself to sleep. And that felt really bad today. That matters. That counts. And we do, and you do. I mean, we have people in the hospital with COVID. You know, we've got, I mean, I feel like I can't throw a stone to anybody near me and not find a host of people who've lost their jobs. So it's real, you know, like, it's like loss upon loss upon loss upon loss. And so I would love to see us give one another all the permission in the world to experience the loss that we're experiencing and express it. And without saying, I know others have it worse, or without saying, you shouldn't complain about that because somebody else is experiencing something harder. That's just making us more fragmented. That hurts. Like, shame doesn't really have a good role right now to play inside this cultural moment. And so I think that when somebody is saying something, the best thing is we pull up a chair and go, that is hard. I see you and I like hear you. And I am so sorry how like disappointing or scary this moment is for you. That is healing. It always has been. Again, we could always be that person. We could always be choosing that version of ourselves. But I think that has a real restorative power right now when everybody, as you mentioned, is experiencing loss and fear right now.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that it is amazing. It seems so simple to just pull up a chair and say, hey, I get it. I know it's hard, or I can't imagine, or I'm so sorry. But you're so right. It's so profound when people do that. And we probably need that more now than we've ever had.
Because totally.
Like you said, it's amazing how we've got all this good running on the rails, and then we've got all this really hard running on the rails as well. Let me just, maybe we could end with something. If you were thinking about, you know, when you think about your own church, your own family, your own life, what do you hear God say right now? What do you think? You know, we've been wrestling through all those questions of, did God cause this or did God allow this? Which in the end, it doesn't. The answer matters, but it doesn't really matter for any of our emotional states today. But he is trying to do something, or he's trying to say something. What are you feeling? What are you hearing about what he is doing or saying?
I think for me, the sort of spiritual clarity that I'm experiencing is this sense of God right now, which is that he is the same, right, this minute as he was a month ago, as he was a year ago. He's just as near as he ever was. He cares about us just as much as he ever did. Our pain and loss matters to him as much as it ever did. He's not different right now than he ever has been. But when everything has the illusion of security, which we experience all the time, that's just that's a luxury of privileged people to think that we are pretty much in control of most of the outcomes and we can sprinkle God onto the thing. Now that those are pretty much shattered and we see how quickly they just go right through our fingers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like in a week, the world shut down. The notion that it's actually us who have built a lot of barriers between where we are and where God would, could, should be in our lives. Mm. Those are ours. Like we put those there. They're not real. They're just illusions, of course. This sense of control and success and privilege and power and, you know, all of this. But with those gone, it's interesting to imagine that God is just as gentle now as he ever was. And he's just as available to us now. He's no further away and he's no closer. Mm-hmm. And so I hope for me that when we walk out of this moment into a different world, which is just true, it's not going to be the same as it was.
Yes.
That I will be more aware of those layers that I have put around my own life, my own experience, my own family, my own sense of purpose and possibility, my own faith, and realize none of those were real to begin with. None of those carried any weight. They did nothing to prevent any of this. They didn't insulate any one of us from this moment. And that it's sort of just God is enough and he always was.
Mm. Which you're right. I mean, that has always been true, but we have to show ourselves grace, back to what you were saying earlier, that when everything is kind of running as normal, you just don't have to stop and feel that.
And absolutely not.
We have had to, for sure, in this
season.
That's
right. And I think that's good for us.
Yeah. I do. I think that's so good to say, hey, that's not a bad thing to stop and be really in tune and aware of how dependent and broken and flawed and virus prone as
that's
we are.
Right.
I think that's
right.
Great. I do want to point people to this. You're doing an event. I saw this today on your website and I thought this is such a great idea, but on April 30th, you're doing a web event. I can't talk about this without mentioning that Brené Brown is going to be a part of this. Brené Brown.
She's doing all right. She's doing all right out there in the world. She's going to make it.
She's got a new little podcast herself, which has been great. But it's the book. It's about your new book. The book title. Yeah. Where did that come from?
Yeah. Well, you know, I tried to come up with a title that was incredibly hard to either say or remember. And I feel like I really nailed it.
Can I try to say it?
I would love to hear your attempt. Yeah.
Is it fierce, free, and full of fire?
That's it. Look, you did it. It's possible.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. Yes. This is just the book of my heart. I don't know how else to describe it. It's every single thing I have learned in my own march to absolute freedom, like spiritual freedom, emotional freedom, physical and intellectual freedom, everything I've learned in the last 5 years. Oh, I wish somebody had put this book in my hands 5 years ago. And so it comes out on April 21st and it's just jammed with tools for women, just to be integrated, what it means to like own our convictions and our spiritual questions and our ideas and our thoughts and our needs and our wants and our identities. It's pretty hardcore. Like it'll punch you in the face. And so we had originally scheduled this big, amazing live event, which is of course, you know, gone by the wayside, like everything else. And so we pivoted like we are all doing right now. That is the word over my team right now. Pivot.
I was just going to say pivot is going to be like 2020's word of the year.
Yeah, it is. It 100% is. So we went, well, you know what? Maybe this might bless the community in a weird way because now, you know, I reach out to my partner. So it's Brené Brown. It's Angela Johnson. She's the most hilarious comedian. Mm-hmm. Johnny Swim. I don't know if you know their music.
Oh,
just fantastic. They're going to do the music for us.
Wow.
And so I reached out to them and said, would you consider moving the thing online? Mm. And they, of course, 100% said yes. So it's now going to be a webcast, which means way more people can come to it than all whoever was going to be in a live room. Atlanta, Seattle, I don't know where you are. You can come. And so we're excited to bring that. We're working really hard on putting together a webcast that is going to make you laugh and give you hope and serve you exactly where you are and bring us together kind of in this moment in time. And I couldn't ask for better partners. So they can get all that information over at JenHatmaker.com.
That is awesome. Buckhead Church, I hope that you'll be a part of it. I know the Scroggins household will be there. We will definitely be tuning in. So thanks for your time, Jen. Thanks for your influence in our church. Please keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
We need your voice. We need you, and we need your spirit in the world right now. And you bring such a great sense of hope and optimism and positivity, and also just real life talk. I feel like you're really good at that.
What a nice thing to say, Clay. I really appreciate that today. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.